I know that you have heard this quote in a different context. I want you to listen to it today in the context of Jesus and discipleship. You give people fish, and they will have food for a day. You teach those people to fish, and they will have food for a lifetime. Because I think Jesus would tell us that fishing, as in discipleship, is not just a sport. It is a way of life. So the way that we live our discipleship out allows others to not only have food for a day, but food forever. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to have you here. For those of you who are visiting us here this morning, we are very glad that you are here. We are a congregation that is friendly, sometimes maybe overly friendly, and so don't be frightened by us, but we are always glad when someone comes and worships with us. If you all will take a moment to fill out the pew pads to record your attendance with us this morning, we would appreciate that. And just another note, if you have a cell phone, would you mind clicking it off right now? That would be good. So we have had everything from cat's meows to the eyes of Texas are upon us, and so while I think God might be amused, sometimes it makes us a little nervous. So go ahead and flip those off right now. If you will take a minute to look at your bulletin, you see those things that we are about in this time as we are heading into the season of Lent next month. You see the Bible study that is there. One of the things that I want to say is if any of you are interested in doing this study in the morning or around noontime because you can't make it to an evening study, if you will let me know, I am more than happy to go ahead and do that during the day, daytime hours. So just either let me know, send me a text, send me an email, and we can work on that together. The meeting today, I am going to do what no pastor normally likes to do, but I'm going to do it, and that is I'm going to beg you to stay. We are going to have fun this year. It is going to be short. There will be an opportunity, if you do have questions, that you can ask those. But mostly, this is a time for us to celebrate together what we have done together in 2019 and to take a look forward into what we will do in 2020. So I promise you short. I promise you fun. And if you don't, you can come see me later and let me know it was too long and I did not have fun, and we'll work around it. So... But there's an ulterior motive. We do need a quorum. And so please, if you can, stay for the luncheon today. And also, speaking of meals, the pancake supper, if you will continue to put that on your list, we, each of us, I can watch your faces. When those musicians, our guest musicians and our choir and our instrumentalists are sending that music over those balconies, it just feeds our soul. But it does take some money to do that. And so come enjoy fellowship, enjoy pancakes, and let the music keep playing. For our prayer concerns this morning, you see those that are in the bulletin. I also want to add Derek Pollard, who is a friend of Evelyn Parker's. He has an infection in his pancreas, and at this point, Evelyn says they have a feeding tube in him just to kind of let that pancreas rest, and so we certainly want to keep him in prayers. You see those others. Lewis, again, good to have you here with us this morning. We keep you in our prayers, as we do Doyle. We remember Jenny and her family this week at their loss with Pat. And it was good to visit with her on Friday and know that, you know, that they're okay. They're doing well. Certainly keep Margaret in your prayers. And Bill, we are grateful that even we wish you didn't have a kidney stone, but it's better than the alternative, so we keep you in prayers. And then finally, this congregation is no stranger to the Carlin family, and particularly to Julie. And so we keep Trey, Julie, Granny, Papa, Frank, and Kelly, all of the family in our prayers. Julie will have basically exploratory surgery tomorrow, and they will determine a course of action following that. And so just let her know that we keep her in our prayers. It is good that we are here. It is my prayer that not only those of you who are visiting with us, but those of you who are here every Sunday feel the presence of the Spirit in such a way that you are moved to follow or to continue following, or maybe even take a different direction. May the power of the Spirit be upon us this and every day. Will you join me now as we give thanksgiving to God through this psalm of praise? The Lord is our light and salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of our life. Let us shout with joy to God. You know those times when we are embarrassed by how we treat others? God asks us to seek that face of grace and to be that face of grace to others. When we regret the words that we have said that we cannot take back, God reminds us that hope comes with each and every new moment, so grab onto it. And so this morning, for all of those ways that we have not done or said or been as God has created us to be, we confess to the one who hears us, but also, thank goodness, the one who forgives us. Let us pray together. We are reluctant to admit all the ways called to follow, we push and shove for first place in line. Invited to seek your face, we have trouble looking our brothers and sisters in the eye. Yet you have promised to be our light, so lead us from the shadows of our sin. You have promised to be our salvation, so set us free to explore the depths of our heart. So now hear these words that I pray will soothe our troubled souls. It is in mercy that God has forgiven us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and all who believe in the Lord will receive forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Thanks be to God.
Pray. God of love, may we see that the foolishness of your word is more powerful than the wisdom of this world, and may we lay aside our differences for the sake of that gospel. By the power of your Spirit, turn our hearts toward you and give us the wisdom to walk in your ways. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 4, and I would invite you to read along in your pew Bible. That's on page 638. So the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali have been in deep darkness under the oppressive power of the Assyrians. The Israelites who had lived there were scattered widely throughout the Assyrian Empire, so that most of them lost their identity, if not their lives. When the power of the Assyrians was finally broken, the people of Judah and Jerusalem hoped that the northern regions would be restored to the Israelite people. And this text is an expression of that hope. Hear now the word of God. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For their yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The end of the reading of the Old Testament.
gospel today comes from the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. And if you ever had any doubt that Jesus was brought up in the scriptures of the Old Testament, here is one that reminds us, yes, he did read those. You will hear once again Jesus say those words of the prophet Isaiah. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and he made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee. They were mending their nets, and he called out to them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The grass withers, the flowers fade. This, the wonderful word of our Lord, endures forever. Thanks be to God. What most Presbyterians hear when they hear the name Roger Nishioki, their thoughts immediately turn to youth and to young adults and to Christian education, and that's all well and good. But he is also a respected Presbyterian pastor. He is a gifted preacher. He is a seminary professor. And he's the author of many, many books. He's down to earth. He's funny. He's friendly. And he tells great stories. So this morning, I'm going to start with a story that Roger has shared from his childhood. First of all, his father was also a Presbyterian pastor. And Roger says that he loved the show The Wild Kingdom. But it just so happened that it aired on Sunday nights. So as a treat, the family got to eat their dinner in the living room watching that, but just on that one night. Not any other time. There was one particular episode, Roger says, that has stayed with him his entire life. It is about the elephant seals in Argentina. So, in case you didn't know this, here is an elephant seal fact. The mother seal, after giving birth to her baby seal pup, is famished. And so she actually abandons the pup on the shore, and she goes out to the waters to feed. And when she comes back, she comes to a different part of the shoreline. So here's a kink in the process, at least as it was on this particular episode. Other mother seals are doing the very same thing, and they are returning at the very same time as this other mother that is being featured. And so Roger says that as a little boy, he kept wondering, oh my goodness, how are they going to find one another, this mother and her pup? Well, the cameras hone in on the one mother that they have been featuring, and she comes up to the water's edge, and she begins to call out to her pup, and she listens for a response. She does it several times. The host of the show explains that from the moment of birth, the sound and the scent of the seal pup is imprinted on the mother's memory, and in the pup, the mother's scent and her sound are imprinted in the baby seal's memory. So in a sea of seals amidst all of the noises, these mothers and their babies are miraculously, wonderfully reunited again. It was at that point, Roger says, that his dad turned to him and he said, you know what, son? It's how it is with God. We have been imprinted with a memory of God in us. And even if it takes a lifetime, we are going to find one another. Well, as far as scripture goes, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, we're not sure that they were trying to find Jesus, but it does appear that they have reached this point in their lives where they know that something has to change. And a simple invitation from Jesus, this time not like it was last week, that come and see time. This was actually an invitation to follow. And it caused a conversion, a change, one so dramatic that by sheer faith, they left the security that they knew. They gave up their way of making money, their way of putting food on the table, and they let Jesus lead them into a different kind of fishing. Now, in contrast to those four, Jesus, the great fisherman, was looking for people. And when he found them, he became light to them. The gospel says that Jesus looked for the broken, that he looked for people who sat in shadows, that he looks for people who are in the dark, who have no light. And as we are well aware, that message didn't start with Matthew, nor did it start with Jesus. It started way back with Isaiah, who was talking about Jesus, that irresistible radiance that comes and helps brighten up the dark places of our lives. It's the light that calls us. It's the light that gives us the courage that we need to go and fish with him. One of the commentaries on this passage likens Andrew, James, Peter, and John to be drawn to Jesus like a moth. And I think I have said this before, a moth can't resist light. But they have this odd kind of light-seeking behavior. From a distance, they are actually drawn to it. They want to get to that light as fast as they can. But at some point, when it gets just close enough, that second behavior of theirs kicks in. And it's called avoidance. Today, we can be grateful that Andrew, Peter, James, and John did not avoid Jesus' voice. There was something imprinted in Jesus. There was something imprinted in these brothers that made them want to go fishing with the light. They wanted to go with Jesus himself. And we, those of us professing Jesus to be our Lord and to be our light, our lives find that sometimes fishing with Jesus isn't the most comfortable act of the day. Sometimes that avoidance in us kicks in, and sometimes the more aware we are that Jesus wants to have an intimate relationship with us, the more the light asks of us, we just get tired. Sometimes we think a little Jesus is good, a whole lot of Jesus, not so good. At least that's what the world wants us to believe. The world would have us stop short of ever, by faith, throwing caution to the wind or flying with confidence straight into the light or throwing out our fishing nets, expecting them to come back and be full. And sometimes it's not even the world that holds us back. We're perfectly capable of doing that ourselves. Do we find ourselves playing it safe with our faith because Jesus has already told us it's not an easy road to follow? Are we afraid that following fully asks us to change perhaps the flight pattern of our lives? You know what? I think that sometimes it's easier for us to say, it's okay. Jesus says, it's hard, so let's just not go jump in the water yet. Truth is, I suspect all of us, and I know myself, I have used that kind of thinking when I have that hesitancy about following more fully. Barbara Brown Taylor says that even Jesus experienced his own turning point. The story of the Christian discipleship and faith begins simply and quietly when something stirs in the life of a young man named Jesus, leading him to believe that the time is right for him to leave home and to begin his adventure, time for him to step out and follow faith. So we're in good company. Changing direction in life, as we all know, can happen in an instant. But it can also come about because we have this intentional, thought-out plan. Who knows, the brothers may have been thinking about following this one named Jesus, but from where we sit, it certainly looks like they just took a great leap of faith. It's the kind of faith that actually makes no logical sense. It reeks of discomfort. They're giving up their livelihood. But it's also the kind of faith that will lead to life-changing, to life-enriching experiences that they, and I would pray you and I, have never imagined. Hearing God's voice, sensing Christ's invitation, is not about asking where it's going to end up, how long is it going to take for us to follow, how much of our life is it going to cost of us. Follow in faith, Jesus says, and we'll find out about discipleship together as we go. The Christian church, more now than ever, stands at the edge of a seashore. We are continually being asked to follow. And this story reminds us that following is not about some intellectual act. It's not about an exercise. It's not about mapping our own spiritual course. It's not about planning our every move so that we can follow the right way. Discipleship looks a whole lot more like Abram and Sarah pulling up their tent stakes and heading out for the unknown. It looks a lot more like Jesus leaving home, not knowing where his next meal would be or where he was going to rest his head. It looks like Andrew, Peter, James, and John changing one kind of livelihood for another. So rather than living in the fear of what should be, of what is, whether it's in our own personal lives or whether it's in our corporate lives together, Jesus says, start swimming. Let those waves take you where they will take you. Do anything but just tread water. But I also think we have to be honest with ourselves. I think there are times when we need to tread water. I think there are times when we simply want to rest in the light. Times when we want to keep following, but we need to see that one set of footprints in the sand. We need to know that Jesus is holding us firmly in his arms even as we are following along with him. There are times when life throws so many voices at us that we feel like we are standing on the shore in the midst of all of these other kinds of noises, illness, loss, fear, loneliness, insecurity, and the list goes on and on. Other voices are trying to change our direction by urging us to not listen to that one voice that has been imprinted on our hearts. Maybe the brothers were, maybe the brothers weren't looking for Jesus. That doesn't change the point that Jesus is already and always looking for us. Looking especially in those times when we find ourselves in those dark places, it's good to remember that when we most need to not feel alone, it's when our relationship with God and one another can be at its strongest. It's those times that we can rest in those strong, firm arms of Jesus the fisherman, Jesus our light. And in our resting, we are still fishing. To the world, we are giving witness to that promise that in life and in death, God in whom our voice and our scent is forever imprinted, never stops looking for us until we are united. In turning our lives toward Jesus, in going fishing with the light, we get to see each other. We get to see ourselves. We get to see the world from a different vantage point through the eyes of the fisherman who knows us better than we know ourselves. Again, Barbara Brown Taylor says that faith begins not with a set of beliefs to adhere to or some creed that we have to subscribe to, but it begins with a voice or something that is internal in our soul that calls to us and says, follow me. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's a nudge. Sometimes it's an attraction to others who seem so centered in how they live. And I think Roger would say that sometimes Jesus' call to follow smells like and sounds like something already imprinted in us, something so familiar to us that we want to work our way back through all of those other voices to that one voice. So like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we are invited to go fishing with the light. And even if we don't know how to fish, we've been invited to come along and figure it out together with that great fisherman who will teach us all that we need to know about boats and nets, about lakes and lights, who will teach us all that we need to know to have faith and to fish. Amen.
We have heard the word of the Lord read and proclaimed, the very word that gives strength to our faith. Embracing that strength, will you please stand and join us together we affirm what we believe. This we
as we offer our thanksgiving to God and lift up our prayers, just remember that amongst all of the voices that our Lord hears at any given moment in time, He still hears your one voice. Let us pray. God of creating and sustaining life, we come before you. We're seeking to be bathed in that light of your love and your grace. And we ask that through the lens of your light, we look deeply for your vision for the world, your vision for this congregation, this vision for each and every one of us as your child. And as we continue our journeys of faith and life, we ask that you continue to send your Spirit to walk with us as a source of guidance, as a light, as a rock of strength. And when we have decisions before us that test the limits of our own comfort, we ask that you will send your Spirit to give us courage and to give us clarity. And when we carry with us that heavy burden of past failure or present guilt, send your Spirit to assure us again that you accept us, you love us, and you forgive us in Jesus Christ. We know that the demands of the gospel lead us into paths unknown, and we fear that risk. And so our hope can quickly fade away, our confidence wanes. And so, Lord, send your Spirit to give us that boldness that we need to fish in faith along the paths that you light for us, both as a congregation and as individuals. And Lord, we bring before you the prayers of our hearts, those that we have mentioned this morning. We continue to ask, Lord, your healing presence, your comforting Spirit upon Julie and Lewis and Doyle and Derek. We ask, Lord, that you will remind Jenny and her family that this family of faith remembers them in our prayers as they mourn the loss of their mother. Lord, we are grateful that Bill is healing well. We ask that you continue to walk with him. For Margaret, we pray that she will fill our prayers this day and each day this week. Lord, for our world, for our nation, for this community of faith, we ask that you will help us hear and help us answer your call, because you are not a distant God, but you're a God who journeys right beside us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we offer our thanksgiving and our praise for that promised presence of our Lord and the graced presence of each other. And so hear our prayer together as we lift it to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You and I are blessed to have been caught in that net of God's love and grace and called to participate in the work that Jesus calls us to as disciples on this earth. And so this morning, may our offerings reflect that commitment to continue to be fishers of people in the name of our Lord.
Let us pray. We bring our offerings to you today, and we offer the way that we will live and all the relationships and events of our lives for you to use to share your good news. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Last bit of invitation and benediction. I want to remind you that Jesus calls all of us to follow. And if you are like me, and if you have grown up in the church, sometimes we forget that Jesus still calls us and calls us to new and different things. If you are here this morning and you have heard that call and you've been reluctant to follow, my prayer is that you will be reminded today that even in those times when it's hard to follow, that Jesus holds us and holds us tightly. So this morning, can we remember that God is our light, our hope, God is our all in all? Christ is our home. Christ is our life. Christ is our joy. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our encourager, our guide. And even as our worship concludes in just a moment, our service, our discipleship just begins. So blessed be our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer for all times. Amen.